From the city startups to its largest companies, this is C-Suite. Conversations with Boston's chief executives, only on Bloomberg Bay State Business.
George Sakellaris is the president and chief executive officer, as well as the chairman of the board of directors of Ameresco, traded on the symbol on the New York Stock Exchange, AMRC, a leading energy efficiency and renewable energy company headquartered in Framingham, Massachusetts. They have 1,000 employees. George, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Your story, as I'm reading it and learning more about your business, you came here from Greece at the age of 18, came to the U.S., attended the University of Maine, and you are a short order cook to pay your way through college. Tell us about how that experience shaped where you are today.
It's a great transformation. Coming from an old country and then landing in Bangor, Maine, from all places. And of course, the first question in my mind was, well, what am I doing here? And I wanted to go back, but I was determined because I came here to get my education. And it was a great transformation going from one culture to the American culture and adopting and getting my education. But the University of Maine basically showed me the way.
Where were you a short order cook?
At Peter's Candlelight Restaurant. And I learned to cook steaks very well, and I had great clientele, all the bus drivers. It was a Greyhound bus stop. It was a great experience, though, but and some of the things that you learn through hard work. You know, you come from another country, and the number one that can get you get ahead is education. And then behind the education is the hard work ethic. And I think the fact that I had to pay for my own education and so on, it helped me be where I am today.
Our guest, George Sakellaris, is the CEO of Ameresco out in Framingham. And so, George, I want people to understand what your company does. So let's go through some examples. Give us a example of a project. I mean, yeah. We have a list here, Roxbury Community College. I saw on your website a facility in Connecticut, juvenile facility in Connecticut. But you start where you'd like. What? Give us a good example of what your company does.
I will go back. We've been in this industry since 1980. I've been doing energy efficiency projects. And a great example of the power of our offering is the fact that we will develop the project. We will build the project, we get the financing through a third party, and then we'll guarantee that the savings will pay for the particular energy efficiency project.
You guarantee?
A guarantee. So the client does not have to put up any money, and he does not have to take any risk with the, associated with the savings. In addition to that, because we give an integrated offering, we do it from development to the end, one-stop shop. He doesn't have to go out shopping around who's going to do the construction management, who's going to do the engineering, and who's going to implement the project. So it's one-stop shop.
And so in some cases, George, you also, after it's all done, you run
that is
whatever
correct.
You've built.
That is
correct. Is that the case in all cases or just some?
In the federal facilities, primarily, we will operate and maintain the projects. And that way we assure that the savings will be there for the term of the contract. Because basically what we're doing, we take the savings. Let's say you save in a particular project $1 million. We securitize that. And then we go to a bank, Bank of America or another bank, and we finance the project, $10 million, whatever.
So give us an example of one of these projects.
You know, the first building that we did is downtown Boston. Back in 1980, it was the Mercantile Wharf Building. And I was talking to the property manager, and then the person said, and the property manager, I take you to the owner, Ed Fish. And then Ed Fish says, what are you going to do in my building? I said, I will get you a new boiler. I will get you a new chiller, some controls and new lights. And then I says, you put up the money? I says, yes. And then he says, what happens if it doesn't work? You guarantee the savings, right? He says, yes. What happens if it doesn't work? I said, you keep the boiler, you keep the chiller, and I get fired.
So, George, how do you make money on this deal?
We're making money because when you build a project, let's say that project cost us $10 million to build it, within that, there is our margin.
I see. Okay.
And then if the client asks us to operate and maintain it, then we will have an annual operation maintenance contract. And I can tell you some examples of what has happened lately. And this is what differentiates our company from the competition. Been able to integrate the new technologies, the microgrids, the battery storage, because many customers now, they're looking for resiliency.
Right.
One of the great projects that we did was Paris Island. And on Paris Island, we have a combined heat and power. Otherwise, they have their own generation.
This is for the military.
Yeah, that's U.S. correct. Marine Corps, Parris Island.
That is correct.
And, a $91 million energy project.
Correct. And, and it's very comprehensive because it involves not only the energy efficiency measures, but a new power plant, a battery storage, a microgrid, and a solar plant. And all that, we've been able to do it to give the government resiliency, right? Because they might, from the storms and so on, it worked. Resiliency, we fund it through the savings. And that's the beauty of our concept. That's why I say...
Is this your concept? Did you come up with this?
Actually, the first building that was done was the Mercantile Wharf building downtown Boston. And that's why Boston or Massachusetts, it's a great place to start a new business.
That's where you figured this would work, and lo and behold, it did. And so back to the Parris Island, and if I may be so nosy, so $91 million project, how much money did you make on that project?
Generally, and we disclose that on the street, our margin is in the high teens. Otherwise, between 15 to 20, a particular margin. And
very
then we
nice.
Have the operation and maintenance contract, which is a little bit higher than that.
Talking with George Sokolaris, he's the president and chief executive officer of Ameresco, which is a company based in Framingham. He's going to stay with us. We're going to take a pause here for a moment, but we want to talk to you about a number of issues facing the state of Massachusetts, and including the wind project off
figure, you know, with your resume, you could answer. Yeah. You probably solve some of these problems.
I will try my best.
Let's,
let's give it a
are.
Shot. I'm Tom Maroney with Joe Shortsleeve and Kim Kerrigan. It's Bloomberg 106.1 Boston Newburyport and 92.9 HD2.
Continuing our conversation now with George Sokolaris, the president and chief executive officer of Ameresco, a leading energy efficiency and renewable energy company headquartered in Framingham. George, we were talking about examples of what your company does and how you save the money with what you do. And you said you wanted to talk about Roxbury Community College. I'm looking at that, and you came up with a way to save them $860,000 a year. How'd you do that?
Basically, it's a great example how we can help the communities and create self-funded projects. Otherwise, we took lost savings and we spent over $10 million. And the project has involved new boilers, upgrades on the chillers, new controls, energy-efficient lights. But the most important aspect of that particular project, and that's why I say we incorporate innovative technologies, they had an old unpaved parking lot. We put geothermal heat pumps in the ground, in the parking lot. Then we paved the parking lot. We built canopies, and on the roof of the canopy for the parking, we put solar. So we reduced their carbon footprint by almost 50%. And that's why I always say energy efficiency is the first thing that we can do, that we can accomplish as much as 30% carbon reduction.
Do you do this engineering? Do you get involved in that end of it, or do you hire people that know it? Do you know how to do this kind of thing?
I used to. When I started out and as an engineer, but now, and that's the 1,200 people that we have, primarily they are engineers, mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, and business developers. Because in order to structure the financing, you have to have people that they have the financial background in order to be
George,
able to
George, we end up asking a lot of CEOs the same question. Are you finding it difficult to find good help, people that are qualified?
To some extent, yes, but what we have done, and some of the projects that we do for the communities, especially the high schools, let's say solar, we start training the students. And we have a cooperative program with Northeastern University and other schools in the area, and we try to get them to focus to educate on energy efficiency, energy management, and renewables. And we've been very lucky.
So right through Northeastern, you take these courses, and then your chances of being hired by your company.
That is correct. That is correct. And the other thing that drives, and we haven't had that much difficulty getting the talent, is because in the industry we are, people, they do well for themselves, but they do good, great things for the society. And that empowers them. They feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy for me to motivate them and say, look, guys, we're doing something good for the society. And it's very empowering.
As somebody who works in this space, in this field, in this state, I mean, obviously the headlines that Tom and I, you know, cover here in this program all the time have to do with, you know, offshore wind and, of course, natural gas and the whole pipeline issue in the state. You were just saying that we need more natural gas in Massachusetts.
That is correct. Look, in order to get to the ultimate goal that we want to be as much carbon neutral as possible, because the climate change is happening and we have a lot to do with it, and we need the wind as well as we do all the solar, distributed solar, and as well as the gas pipelines, because many customers, in order to achieve resiliency or reduce their carbon footprint, they need what we call distributed generation, combined heat and power. In order to do that, you need the pipelines. And it's much safer to have the pipeline rather than have an LNG facility.
And but it seems like the public is, you know, I don't know if it's the public. Is it the public, Tom?
Well, there's opposition.
There's opposition.
There is, some people feel there's a reluctance, or was a reluctance on the part of the governor to push ahead with these pipeline projects.
They're not politically popular.
What's your assessment, George?
I think they are in what I will say a sensitive position. But the ultimate day, though, we need those pipelines, and we need all these renewables, and whether it's open land that we take. But what we do in our company, and I think that's more important, we have about 16 old closed landfill sites. Mm-hmm. And what we have done, we put solar on each and every one of them, and the communities benefit, and it's local, and it's very beneficial to everyone.
Tell me how the community benefits. What happens with the solar that you put at these
Basically,
landfills?
We will sell the power to them at a lower price than what the community is buying it. Or sometimes we will just lease the site, and we'll just pay them a fee every year.
So do you have to deal with local power companies then on the solar there? You know, these some of these towns and cities have their own.
Yes, and it's always challenges. But on the other hand, you know, if you are in this business and that's your bread and butter, you focus at it until you get it done. And what I said earlier, you know, the transformation that I had to, the perseverance, you might say, coming to this country, it has helped me manage through those issues.
I want to get back to the more general one, but a quick question. We are sort of running out of time here. Is that our most challenging issue right now for energy in Massachusetts, this pipeline capacity, or is there something else?
Pipeline will be one of the critical issues, I think, because the state definitely needs it. And in addition to that, I think some of the rules and regulations around the renewables, whether it's from the utility side or the regulatory side, we need a little bit more relaxation.
Meaning what?
Some of the issues that we face a
Give
lot.
Give me an example, Joe.
Yeah. Interconnection agreements with the utilities. Because they are overwhelmed, they take a long time in order to be able to interconnect the projects. Some of the incentives on solar, they keep coming down as much as possible.
Right.
So we need those to be good enough so to be effective. In Massachusetts is the leadership in that area, and in order to continue, we need all of the above.
Yeah, well, I think, as we talk to our listeners out there and try to explain what it is exactly Ameresco does, I think a lot of people have seen on the Mass Pike these solar arrays that you, I believe, your company put in place for MassDOT.
That is correct. I think, again, there's a great example, and it started because this is our training, our motto. We take wasted dollars from the energy efficiency, and we built a project. The Turnpike, all that land was wasted. So we approached them, and then we said, why don't we put some solar panels on that land.
Yeah. Now, but how long did that take, George? I mean, just trying to approach them, never mind get the meeting. But
I'm shocked that it took a lot of time here to get something through the political machinery.
It took a lot of time. I would say probably over 2 years. But on the other hand, they say about $15 million they will save now.
You know what?
Really?
Minor point, though. Solar panels are ugly. Don't we have to make them look nicer before people are going to really accept these?
Oh, they're shiny and silver. Why are they ugly?
They're ugly.
They're ugly?
It's a matter of perspective. I think they're beautiful.
I think you're right, George.
You think they're beautiful.
I think so.
And he does,
because,
too.
Because just think of how much CO2 they remove from the atmosphere.
I'm talking about the look. But you two can
ask him what he thinks about people who ride bicycles, George.
Let's not get into it. So,
what do you think about coal-fired power plants?
Is there anybody else? We've got about 20 seconds.
Oh, that's
Any
right,
because
we've got to do this. We've got to do this.
All right.
No, you didn't.
George Sakellaris, he's the president and chief executive officer of Ameresco. We really appreciate you taking the time joining us today in Bloomberg Bay State Business.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.